My dearly beloved, you know that the fourth Sunday of Lent is called Laetare Sunday from the first word of the introit of the Mass, rejoice, laetare. Similar to the third Sunday of Advent, where the priest is permitted to wear the rose-colored vestments and we're permitted to have flowers on the altar. And the reason behind this is Holy Mother Church, in her wisdom and consideration for the weakness of human nature, wants to encourage us, you might say, in the midst of our Lenten penance. So we have the joyful Sunday of Laetare Sunday, although it is still Lent. We also have, tomorrow, the Feast of St. Joseph. And it is interesting that these two come back to back this year, because I recall reading in the book, The Dolorous Passion of Our Lord, based on the visions of Anna Catherine Emmerich, that Anna Catherine Emmerich, who experienced in her body throughout the season of Lent, pain, the crown of thorns, the scourging, the stigmata, that all of this pain would cease every year on Laetare Sunday. And it also would cease on the Feast of St. Joseph. So again, Holy Mother Church wishes us to have a little relief from our Lenten penance, that we might return to it for the final 3 weeks of Lent. I would like this morning, since the Feast of St. Joseph is tomorrow, to talk about St. Joseph rather than today's epistle and gospel. And I think this is important because St. Joseph is the patron saint of the Church, the patron of the universal Church. It is also important that we call to mind St. Joseph, how important he is, how we should have a devotion to him, because he is such a hidden saint. You don't find anywhere in the Gospels St. Joseph speaking. We have no recorded words that he spoke. This does not mean that he never spoke, but it does convey two things. First, that he spoke seldom, that he weighed his words very carefully, as our Lord revealed to St. Bridget, something I will read in a minute. It also conveys that his role was a hidden role. He did not have a public role, as did St. John the Baptist, who prepared the way for our Lord, or as did the 12 apostles, who spread the faith as the first bishops. St. Joseph was the foster father of our Lord, and as such, he was the representative of God the Father in the life of Christ. Jesus was the only begotten Son of the Father. St. Joseph is sometimes called the shadow of God the Father, his representative on earth. And Jesus looked at St. Joseph and he saw, you might say, his Father in heaven. And he revered St. Joseph. He loved St. Joseph as he loves his Heavenly Father. How could we ever understand how much our Lord loves St. Joseph? He not only loved St. Joseph because St. Joseph took the place of his Heavenly Father, but also out of gratitude because St. Joseph worked hard to put the food on the table for the Holy Family. He led the Holy Family into Egypt to protect our Lord's life. He was our Lord's guardian, as he was the guardian of our Blessed Mother. St. Joseph is a wonderful saint that we should all honor. St. Teresa of Avila, among many saints of centuries gone by in the past, predicted and stated that there needed to be a greater and greater devotion to St. Joseph in the latter times, as the history would progress, as the ages would pass by, that it would be the will of God that St. Joseph should be better understood, more loved, more honored than he was in the early church. St. Joseph was such a hidden saint, there was really very little devotion to him in the early centuries and even in the Middle Ages, because he was simply hidden. But now it is the will of God that he should be more than ever honored and loved and invoked. We need St. Joseph. We recall the individual named Joseph in the Old Testament, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And Jacob loved Joseph above his other brothers. and treated him in a special way. And the brothers were jealous of this. And finally it got to the point, they sold him into slavery. And Joseph was taken into Egypt and was bought as a slave by a man who was a general in the Pharaoh's army. And it ended up that through a calumny, a falsehood spoken against him, he was thrown into jail. But while he was there in jail, he got to know the other inmates of the prison, and they found out he could interpret their dreams. He would tell them what the future had in store for them. And things turned out exactly as he said. And so as a result, one of them, who was delivered from prison, as Joseph had predicted, told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had Joseph brought out of prison to interpret his dreams, two dreams that really bothered him, and none of his wise men could figure out. And these dreams had to do with the 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine that were coming up. And Pharaoh trusted this Joseph so much that he made him the second man in the kingdom after himself. That he had authority over everyone except for Pharaoh himself. And anyone who went to Pharaoh with a question, he would always say, "Go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you." And Holy Mother Church applies that phrase to Saint Joseph. Go to Saint Joseph. Do whatever he tells you. Ite ad Joseph. Go to Joseph often. In all of your needs, in all of your trials, in all of your intentions. Because Saint Joseph is a patron for everyone. Yes, especially for fathers, for workers. But really everyone can see in him a patron. Because he was the guardian of our Blessed Mother, of the Christ Child, the pattern of the Holy Family, as the head of the Holy Family. So we can invoke him for family life, we can invoke him in our daily duties, our labor, to do it well for the love of God. And we can invoke him in so many ways or for so many reasons. But also, as I said, that he is the special patron of the Church. Now, I mentioned earlier that I would quote to you from our Lord's, this is actually Our Lady's words to Saint Bridget on Saint Joseph. I find this interesting. She said this, "Saint Joseph was so reserved and careful in his speech that not one word ever issued from his mouth that was not good and holy, nor did he ever indulge in unnecessary or less than charitable conversation. He was most patient and diligent in bearing fatigue. He practiced extreme poverty. He was most meek in bearing injuries. He was strong and constant against my enemies. He was the faithful witness of the wonders of heaven, being dead to the flesh and the world, living only for God and for heavenly goods, which were the only things he desired. He was perfectly conformed to the divine will, and so resigned to the dispositions of heaven that he ever repeated, 'May the will of God ever be done in me.' He rarely spoke with men, but continually with God, whose will he desired to perform. Wherefore, he now enjoys great glory in heaven." And one of these last statements was that he spoke rarely with men, but continually with God. Saint Joseph is a special patron of the interior life. Imagine he witnessed every day the virtues of Jesus and Mary in practice. And he meditated upon them. And he communed with Almighty God. Saint Joseph had such a wonderful humility. He felt himself to be so unworthy of the lofty position he had been given. He felt himself unworthy to be the spouse of our Blessed Mother and her guardian and protector. He had such a reverence for her, as well as for the Christ Child. And remember this too, that Saint Joseph deeply loved our Blessed Mother, as he did the Christ Child. He was her spouse, her most chaste spouse. And he loved her and guarded her, just as he did the Christ Child. We also should remember to think of Saint Joseph when we pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. In the first mystery, the Annunciation, we should call to mind Saint Joseph's doubts and anxiety when he realized that Our Lady was pregnant and yet did not know the divine mystery. And he went through such a trial, one of his great sorrows. And he, as the scripture says, he was minded to put her away privately because he did not know the divine child. Then it was revealed to him by an angel, and all of that darkness, all of those doubts vanished. And he committed himself evermore to the protection and guardianship of our Blessed Mother and eventually the Christ child. So we think of him at the Annunciation. The visitation, did he go with our Blessed Mother to visit her cousin Elizabeth? We don't know, but certainly there's good reason to believe he would have, rather than let our Blessed Mother travel that great distance all alone. Above all, we see Saint Joseph in the Nativity, how he led our Blessed Mother to Bethlehem to fulfill the edict of the emperor for the census, how Saint Joseph must have been filled with such sorrow and anxiety to try and find a decent place for our Blessed Mother to give birth to the Christ child. His pangs of soul at seeing our Lord born in a stable and our Blessed Mother having to live in a stable were well compensated by his many joys at the Nativity and the adoration of the shepherds and the Magi. We also see Saint Joseph leading our Blessed Mother to the temple 40 days after the birth in obedience to the law to present the Christ child in the temple. Saint Joseph was all about obedience, doing the will of God. And finally, the fifth joyful mystery, the loss of the child in the temple, that pained Saint Joseph so much, not only because he blamed himself that they did not know where our Lord was, he took all the blame on himself, but especially because he knew our Blessed Mother's sorrow was so acute, so intense, and that pained him deeply. And then what joy it must have been finally to discover the Christ child in the temple on the third day. So there are seven joys and seven sorrows, many of them connected with the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And although it may not seem to be closely connected, I would like to conclude the sermon with the Rosary for several reasons. One of them, because Saint Joseph's involvement in the joyful mysteries, also at Fatima, where Our Lady so frequently requested the Rosary, remember that at the last apparition on October the 13th, Saint Joseph appeared during the miracle of the sun to the children with the Christ child and with our Blessed Mother, and he blessed the people. Now, this is interesting that Saint Joseph would appear in those visions that were seen by the children during the miracle of the sun, indicating again his providential role, especially for Holy Mother Church in the latter times. And finally, Pope Leo XIII, who wrote something like 12 or 13 encyclicals just on the Rosary, wrote one in honor of Saint Joseph on the Rosary. And he prescribed the Rosary to be publicly recited during the month of October with a prayer which he composed to be said after the Rosary to Saint Joseph, showing the connection there. But in this regard, I want to read something that I came across just recently of Sister Lucia, the oldest of the three Fatima children. And this is something she said in 1957 to a priest who was interviewing her regarding the Rosary, because we need to always remember the value of the Rosary, the power of the Rosary, and to pray it faithfully each day. Now listen to the words of this Father Fuentes regarding his interview. Sister Lucia told me the two means to save the world are prayer and sacrifice. Regarding the Holy Rosary, Sister Lucy said, "Look, Father, the Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the Rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, of the families of the world, or of the religious communities, or even of the life of peoples and nations, that cannot be solved by the Rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. With the Holy Rosary, we will save ourselves, we will sanctify ourselves, we will console our Lord and obtain the salvation of many souls. And I think it's interesting that she makes the statement that our Blessed Mother has given an added efficacy to the Rosary in our times. The Rosary has always been wonderful and powerful and a beautiful prayer, but it is even more essential in our days. Let us then be certain that we are faithfully praying the Rosary and as devoutly as we can every day. And let us also remember to honor Saint Joseph, this great spouse of our Blessed Mother and foster father of the Son of God, our special patron in these difficult times in which we live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.